On the 250th anniversary of the birth of Ludwig van Beethoven, I, Patricia Salomone, present Beethoven, His Life and Times, with the assistance of my friend Gerald Fenech for the musical content. Last week's episode, we were with Beethoven in Teplitz, where he met Goethe, who he much admired for his work, but who he despised as he found him too obsequious to royalty. Beethoven had travelled to Teplitz in search for the peace and quiet needed to calm his restless spirit. He was also there to take the waters in an effort to cure his recurring intestinal ailment. He had left Vienna at the end of June 1812 and spent a couple of days in Prague before proceeding to the spa town. What happened in Prague is at the base of the mystery surrounding the woman who he addressed as the immortal beloved. In a passionate letter he wrote a few days later in his hotel room in Teplitz. This letter, together with the Heiligenstadt Testament and miniature paintings of two women, was found in a drawer of his desk on the night of his death on 26th March 1827. Much has been said and written about the woman referred to as the immortal beloved. Whoever this woman may have been, it is quite clear from the words Beethoven wrote that she reciprocated his love, although it seems that it was an impossible love. A love that they could not publicly share. A love that would never have given Beethoven the closeness of a wife, which he always seemed to desire, but never achieved. The fact that this letter was found amongst Beethoven's belongings, folded but without an envelope, and without being addressed, seems to indicate that it was never sent. In my opinion, this could well be the case, seeing that Beethoven seemed to have much difficulty in addressing a woman and making his feelings known, and often recurred to the advice and intervention of friends. In the letter, Beethoven never makes the woman's name. He also tries to conceal the names of towns and places, writing V, presumably for Vienna, and K for Carlsbad. But it is exactly these V and K that help scholars in their search for the woman's identity. On 6th July from Teplitz, Beethoven wrote, "My angel, my very self, why this profound sorrow when necessity speaks? Can our love endure without sacrifices, without our demanding everything from one another? Can you alter the fact that you are not wholly mine, that I am not wholly yours? Love demands all, and rightly so. No doubt we shall meet again soon. And today also, time fails me to tell you of the thoughts which during the last few days I have been revolving about my life. If our hearts were always closely united, I would certainly entertain no such thoughts. My heart overflows with longing to tell you so many things. Oh, there are moments when I find that speech is quite inadequate. Be cheerful, and be forever my faithful, my only sweetheart, my all, as I am yours. The gods must send us everything else, whatever must and shall be our fate. Yours faithful, Ludwig." Beethoven's restless spirit put pen to paper again the same evening and continues, "However much you love me, my love for you is ever greater. But never conceal yourself from me. Good night. If only we could live together. What a life it is now without you. Dear God, so near, so far. Is not our love truly founded in heaven? And, what is more, as strongly cemented as in the firmament of heaven." And the following morning he wrote, "Even when I am in bed, my thoughts rush to you, my immortal beloved. Now and then joyfully, then again sadly, waiting to know whether fate will ever hear our prayer. To face life, I must live altogether with you or never see you. Oh God, why must one be separated from her who is so dear? Yet my life at present is a miserable life. Your love has made me both the happiest and unhappiest of mortals. Be calm, for only by calmly considering our lives can we achieve our purpose to live together. Be calm, love me, today, yesterday, what tearful longing for you, my love, my all good wishes to you. Oh, do continue to love me. Never misjudge your lover's most faithful heart. Ever yours, ever mine, ever ours."
Thank you.
scholars have ascertained that Antonie Brentano, with her husband and child, were in Prague the same days as Beethoven was there, between the end of June and early July. In fact, they pinpoint July 3rd as the most possible date when the two lovers were together. Of Beethoven's letter, it does not seem at all that this was their first and only encounter. In fact, the two knew each other in Vienna, where Antonie Brentano frequently visited her family as she was married to the businessman Franz Brentano and lived in Frankfurt. It seems quite possible that it was Bettina Brentano, Franz's half-sister, who introduced the two. Incidentally, Bettina was also the person who introduced Beethoven to Goethe, who frequented this wealthy, cultured family. Beethoven saw Antonie in the weeks following in Karlsbad and Franzensbad, but there was no evidence that he ever saw her again after that. By the time he arrived back in Vienna, via Linz, where he had gone to try to stop his brother Johann from marrying his housekeeper, the Brentanos had left Vienna for Frankfurt. Beethoven dedicated the great Diabelli Variations, Opus 120, to her. There is evidence that he intended dedicating his two final piano sonatas, Opus 110 and Opus 111, to her. He almost certainly wrote his song to the distant beloved with her in mind. Thank you. Beethoven dedicated the piano sonata Opus 109 to Maximiliane, Antoni's daughter, and also wrote a one-movement piano trio for her. However much those scholars like Meinert Solomon argue in favor of Antoni Brentano, others find it rather difficult that Beethoven and Antoni could have had a secret meeting in Prague while she was in the company of her husband and daughter. The other contender is certainly Josephine Brunswick. But there is no proof that she was in Prague or Karlsbad in early July 1812. Besides, having been rejected by her, would proud Beethoven have rekindled a past love affair?
Diabelli Variations. It was 10 years before Beethoven began another set of piano variations, his last and greatest set, on a waltz by the composer-publisher Anton Diabelli. This was one of a series of gigantic works begun in quick succession, others being the Hammerklavier Sonata, the Missa Solemnis, and the Ninth Symphony. The origin of the Diabelli Variations was an idea by Diabelli to produce a collaborative work in which every significant composer in Vienna would write a variation on his waltz theme as a monument to the nation's musical genius. Beethoven is reported to have initially been scornful of Diabelli's idea, dismissing the waltz as a mere Schusterfleck or cobbler's patch, a technical term referring to a melody in which motifs are repeated at different pitches, as indeed happens in Diabelli's theme. This report, however, is from the highly untrustworthy Anton Schindler, and is probably pure fiction. Actually, Beethoven was quickly gripped by the idea of writing not one, but a large set of variations on Diabelli's theme, which by its very limitations provided enormous scope for development. Like Righini's theme, and the one in Beethoven's C minor variations. Before long, he had mapped out a draft containing a set of 23 variations that were already quite near to completion in 1819. These, however, were set aside so that he could work on a more pressing assignment, initially the Missa Solemnis, then the last three piano sonatas, a set of bagatelles, and music for the consecration of the house. Only when these works were safely out of the way did he return to Diabelli Variations, which he completed in 1823. He expanded the work to 33 variations, inserting extra ones at various strategic points in the original scheme, and it was published almost immediately by Diabelli. In 1824, it was reprinted as Part 1 of Vaterlandischer Kunstverein, with Part 2 consisting of variations by no fewer than 50 composers with Viennese connections, including Schubert and the 11-year-old Franz Liszt.
intriguing aftermath to Beethoven's brief but eventful stay in Prague is the fact that both Antoni Brentano and Josephine Brunswick were to bear children in the spring of 2013. Antoni gave birth to a son, Carl Josef, on 8th March, while Josephine, on 9th April 1813, had a daughter to whom she gave the enigmatic name of Minona, which read back to front reads anonym. Minona lived to a ripe old age, and it is said that she bore a striking resemblance to Ludwig van Beethoven. Beethoven remained in Teplitz for several weeks, although he moved from here to there and back to Karlsbad and Franzensbad, taking different waters on doctor's orders. This does not seem to have benefited him. In fact, in September, he was so ill he was confined to bed and was cared for by the singer Amalie Sebald. Yet another name on the list of ladies so close and yet so far. Tired, ill and depressed, Beethoven was about to face one family crisis after the other. These family feuds undermined his health and were ultimately to be the cause of his loss of reputation and of his being seen as gruff and domineering. Beethoven's ill-fated journey to Linz and his dealings with his brothers and their respective wives will be the subject of next week's program. Not forgetting, of course, the music, Beethoven's sublime art, which is the raison d'être for this series, Beethoven, His Life and Times. On air next week at 8 p.m. on Tuesday and at 10 a.m. on Wednesday.